We're continuing on with this series. I don't know when things are going to happen. We don't always know. There's some things we don't know why they happen. We don't know why last week people would rebel against the Lord. And there's just certain things we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, or things we're not supposed to know. We don't know how good heaven is because we can't comprehend it. It's beyond our comprehension. John chapter 6, and I'm going to start at near the end of the chapter, verse 60. Things we don't know tonight is who will draw back on God? Who will go back on God? John chapter 6 and verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "It is an hard saying, who can hear it?" So many people heard what he was teaching, and didn't matter what he was teaching particularly. It's a lot of his teachings were things that were hard, you know. Be therefore perfect and love your enemies, and lots of things that he said that weren't easy. And it was a hard saying. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What? And if he shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Is this the Spirit? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you which believe not, that believe not." And Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given to him of the Father." So Jesus in this chapter says nobody can come to me except the Spirit draw him. And he says this in this chapter, and he said, some of you aren't going to be, aren't believers. You don't believe in me. And he's talking about Judas. And when he said this, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no further, with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it is that should betray him, being one of the 12. Who will go back on God? We don't really know. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful words of life. Thank you for the scripture. Please give me power tonight, and please speak to us tonight. Lord, my voice certainly needs help, but more than that, Lord, if my voice is weak, it's if I have your spirit. Lord, if your spirit is in control, we believe powerful things happen. We pray that this evening that powerful things would happen. Your spirit to speak to us, and may some of us decide that we will not go back on you. And may we all decide that, Father, and please show us and reveal to us and speak to us on this subject. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "One of you is the devil and you're going to betray me." And let's go back and look at Matthew 26 on this same subject. Got a lot of things in this passage. First of all, a bunch of people went back when they heard the hard sayings. And even the disciples are murmuring at what he said. Matthew 26 and verse 20. He's with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful and began every one to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He is that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, it is I." And he said, "Thou hast said." Now, that's strange. Judas asked that. If Judas knew for 100% sure, he wouldn't have asked that question. The other disciples asked that question. If they knew for sure they weren't, they wouldn't have asked that question. All 12 asked. Because nobody knew who would betray him. Because we don't really know who's going to go back on God. Not just the betrayal, understand that. But a lot of times we don't know who's going to go back on God. When I was in the Philippines last time, they told me that year, 29 people graduated from their Bible college. And at the graduation, they said, at the graduation, there's 29 of you graduating. if statistics prove true, in 20 years, out of the 29 of you, 27 of you will still be in the ministry. One of you will have died from a hurricane or disease or whatever, and one of you would have quit the ministry. Now, that's way better than American statistics, certainly. And of course, they're much more sold out, and there's reasons we'll get to in a while why they wouldn't go back. Now, that certainly isn't true with my peers. And I wouldn't even go back as far as starting as a freshman in Bible college. That'd be way worse. But just people who graduated from Bible college and went into the ministry. A lot of people don't in the ministry. A lot of people go back. A lot of Christians in every church I've ever been at and every church I've ever known of and every pastor I talk to of any kind of denomination or any group, they'll tell you the same thing, man. People go back. And sometimes it shocks you. I didn't expect them to. It's not like, oh, I know who it is. The guy's already got bumps on his head from the horns coming up under his hair, you know. We think we kind of got the idea, and we know the bad people. You know, we know those people are going to do that. We kind of got the idea. We kind of get the gist of it. Who's going to go back on God? I found out I have no idea. I was very shocked when I first went to church. The church greeter, nice guy and his wife, two teenagers in the youth group. They were nice people, loved their church, greeted you with a smile, loved being in church. I watched them as a young Christian backslide so quickly that I happened to just knock on the door where they had got out of church, then got divorced, which is very common. And I didn't even know it was their door. Knocked on the door, and there she was, living with another man. And I started witnessing another man, and she started trying to contradict me and go against me. I was aghast that she had backslid. I was aghast that she got divorced, didn't know that, and that she would go against and try to keep somebody from getting saved. You never know. We're all flesh and blood, and we're all human. And Judas, no, and everybody didn't say, one of us is going to betray. I know who it is. It's old Judas over here. Everybody knows he's the one. No. They said, is it I, Lord? One of us is going to betray you? And so people go back, and they did on Jesus here. It said great multitudes are following him, and all of a sudden, many went away. Can you imagine the spirit and the feeling when you're preaching to a great crowd and you say hard things, and Jesus preaching, all those bunch of people said, I'm not doing that, and walk away. Majorities went back. On Jesus. And so a few thoughts on this. Just want to give you a few thoughts on, we don't know who's going to go back on God. We don't know if we're going to go back on God. And now there's things, there are things the Bible promises. If you do these things, you'll never fall. You don't have to, but I'm just saying you never know. And you just can't ever be sure. Just a few thoughts. Number one, the Christian life is hard and many will go away. Let's go back there in John 6. Christian life is hard, and many are going to go away. That's just what the deal is. Verse 66, from that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus said to the 12, will ye also go away? Why? Verse 60, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? It is against our nature and the desires of our flesh to do what's right, to love our enemies, to pray when we're tired, to study the Bible, to not watch bad things and say bad things and get revenge and let ourselves become bitter. Our very nature wants to do what's wrong. And Jesus says, let's do what's right. Will ye also go away? And it's a natural thing for a human to go do what they want to do, not die to themselves and take up the cross and follow me. And so a lot of people can't do that. It may cost a great price many just don't want to pay. Jesus talked about counting the cost before you followed me, and don't start and not be willing to finish. Why? Because you may have to pay a price. You may lose friends. You may lose families. You may lose a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, and wife. People in your own family might attack you and criticize you. And it is a hard thing to serve God. Serving the Lord for a lifetime is not for wimps. It's not for undedicated people. It's not for self-centered people and selfish people. The devil's going to find somewhere where you just don't want to, and then eventually he can find a way where your life you don't want to follow him. And these people are like, this is fun. He heals people. He gives us bread to eat. He gives us good things. So that didn't sound like fun to do. Why is he teaching us? Hey, give us some more food. Just you don't need to say anything. Just feed us. What? Why is he? Boy, he demands a lot. I don't want this. No. I thought it just, hey, follow me and I'll make you have a full tummy and make you not sick anymore. Sounds great. But it's a price to pay for that. See, it's a hard thing and not everybody wants to do that stuff. You say, then it must be a bad thing. Listen, not everybody makes it to the Navy SEALs who tries. There's hard things in life that only certain people have the strength and decision and dedication to do. Now, Navy SEALs, there's physical limitations you might have. In the spiritual realm, you can be physically weak. It's fine. What you got to have is you got to have dedication and love for God. And that'll be tried. So the Christian life is hard and many will go away. Number two, many trials and tests will come that will stop many. Let's look at Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. I don't want this to be a depressing lesson, but it is what it says. And you can prepare yourself so you're not one of the people who leave him. I thank God that most of the people who are here are dedicated people who've been coming for a while and are going to stick with it and are staying with it for the Lord. But it's very easy for any one of us to be taken. Matthew chapter 13. In verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. Then he which received the seed, but is he which received the seed by the wayside. He which received the seed in the stony places is he which hear the word of God, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet he hath not root in himself. And endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. His friends make fun of him. He's attacked. He's mocked at school, whatever, and he quits on God. He that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word and becometh unfruitful, distractions, things that he wants, riches, and the deceitfulness of riches, and choke it out. But he that receives seed among the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, and he bringeth forth fruit, some 160 and 30. So, listen, there's some things that bring forth fruit for a while, but when the heat comes on, they go back. They go back. Paul said of Demas in 2 Timothy 4:16, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He was tempted and tried with the things of this world versus the hardship of traveling with Paul. And he forsook Christ and went back on God for the love of the present world that he lived in. The disciples scattered on Jesus, John 16:32. It prophesied, many shall be scattered, every man from me. And then in Matthew 26:56, it says, all the disciples scattered and left Jesus alone with the soldiers to be crucified. And only Peter followed afar off. And so we see that many people will, trials and tests will come. Listen, the devil's going to go your whole life and he's going to be peeking and searching and prodding and checking and testing. And he's going to find what it is that will make you offended, what it is that will tempt you, what it is, what excuse you will be able to find. Because that's what it is. What excuse he finally will try. He'll keep throwing the mud at the wall until some of it sticks. You'll have a Christian you love who disappoints you. You'll have a spiritual leader who isn't all they should be and might even mess up and fall and do terrible things. You'll have Christian parents and they might have problems. And you'll say, yep, I'm going back on God. You'll have friends make fun of you. You'll lose a best friend or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or your mom won't talk to you anymore because you're serving God. And if that's what it takes, it'll take. You'll say, well, there's other religions and these religions have disputes between each other. And I'm not going to go to any church because it's not good because there's, and he'll try that and try to get you to go back on God for that. Listen, he'll say, you know what? If you serve God, you won't have the career you wanted because God might call you to do this thing over here. And if that's what works, he'll use that. And he'll say, you know what? You have to give your music. It's your music. Do what you want to do. You don't, it doesn't matter what it is. He'll try 1,000 different things. He'll just keep trying your whole life till he finds your excuse to look at the Savior on the cross and says, this thing is more important than you. And you're going to be tried and tempted to see if you'll keep serving God. There's heat put on. And if you don't have root in yourself in a deep abiding love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't have something deep inside of you that says, you know what, the Savior was crucified to save me from burning for eternity in hell. He deserves me to serve him. Though people are going to crucify me, I'm going to serve him. Unless you have that deep root in yourself of a deep love for God, you will find a really good excuse that will make you feel fine. Until you die, then you won't feel fine. But the excuse will melt like ice in a furnace when you stand in front of God. There's going to be a reason to leave God. Preacher won't smile at you. He'll preach on your sins. The person who's supposed to be good to you isn't good to you. You'll have a tragedy in your life and your health will go away. Your child will have tragedy. You'll have an excuse. The devil's going to say, God, finally got one. I've been trying to get to you for 20 years. Been throwing everything at you trying to get you to serve Jesus. Here's your excuse. Yeah, if I served God all these years and this happened to me, I'm not going to serve God. I went to church and they gossiped about me. I'm not, whatever little piddling thing you got, you can find it. And they're all, see, the heat's going to come on. And many people, when the heat comes on to serve God, it costs something to serve God. You have to serve God through when you don't understand or when you're in hardships, then you go back. And that's just what happened. The disciples stayed with Jesus until all of a sudden, a band of soldiers came. And they said, see you later. And things like that happen. A rich man, his thing was, he had to give all his money away to the and give it to the poor and follow Jesus. Another man wanted to bury his dad. Whatever. There's something that's going to come that's going to cost something to serve God. And you got to decide you love him enough and that he's worthy of it and that his word says what it says and you got to follow him. Number three, sometimes the leaving, and I shouldn't say sometimes, but the leaving just reveals what's inside. I'll just read 1 John 2:19. Just reveals what's inside. For example, Judas, it says he wasn't saved. So there's some of you who believe not. That he betrayed Christ, it said he didn't believe, and then he said he went to his own place, which wasn't God's father, the Father's house. So it revealed that he wasn't saved inside. 1 John 2:19. And let me get to 1 John. There we go. 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest. They were not all of us. And so it just reveals what's inside eventually. Hebrews 10:38-39 says, we are not of those that draw back into perdition. It's what's in us and what's not in us. And it reveals itself whether you go back on God. But who is it? Who in this room won't be in church in a year? I hate to say this, and this is Thursday night crowd, so it's a very small percentage because you're already faithful. What I want to say is somebody in this room tonight, if just the normal happens, what normally happens, there'll be at least one person in this room tonight who won't be in church in a year. It's just humanity. A year is a long time for a human to keep deciding to put Jesus first. It just, and now praise God. I mean, I've known some Christians who served God for their entire lives, for 70, 80 years. Faithful, never took a step back from God. Lots of them, and I've seen lots of them. I want to say, though, it might be you. It might be me. And who will, we do not know who it's going to be. Is it me, Lord? Next, it does not necessarily reflect on a leader, a family, or an institution when people go away from the Lord. It does not necessarily reflect on a leader, an institution, a family, or anything else when people go away from God. Best example of that, we just read. Jesus preached this, and they said, that's a hard saying. See you later. Jesus lost one out of his 12 inner circle who lived with him for 3.5 years. And he was a pretty good leader, I think. Moses, the princes and men of renown, went against him in Kor, and God says, I'm gonna kill them all. And they were the famous, the men of renown, the leaders and the strong and the elders of the and those people went back and fought against God and rebelled and wanted to go back to Egypt. Nobody expected those people would have. Who would have thought? Paul had people leave him. Demas has forsaken me. Everyone, all others have left me. Only Luke is with me. Paul had people bail on him. Mark, many people bailed on Paul when the hardships came and when the trials came. Paul said, at first, no man stood with me. And we could read these verses, lots of verses about that. It doesn't necessarily reflect on a church, on an institution, on a family, on a leader. As long as underneath of whatever it is, there's humans, you're probably going to have people going back sometimes. Now, I understand if you have a church and 95% of the people quit on God every year, okay, we got an issue there. There's a problem. If somebody has a family and they have five kids and five kids go serve the devil, we understand it. It helps a lot to have a great institution, a great family, a great leader. They can make a huge difference, but they cannot take away free will. They cannot take the fallen nature out of mankind. Be great if we could. Man, if I could just do a little surgery on people and say, come here, your free will's sticking up. Come here. And I would do it. I'd get sued a lot, but I'd sharpen my knife first, and I'd wash my hands. I'd be the first person I'd do it on. You ever call yourself, what are you doing, you dummy? You call yourself names sometimes? Hopefully just dummy. Hopefully you don't call yourself really bad names. Sometimes I say, you idiot, what are you doing? Listen, we all have the ability to go away from God. You know, Jesus did a pretty good job, but there was people who they left him. It doesn't necessarily, now it can. It can reflect, and you have a lower percentage at great places, great institutions, great families, but you always have man's free will. A great leader, family, or institution can really help, but not eliminate people from going away. You do not know that you won't quit. You say, well, I don't really want to. I don't want to quit. I feel pretty good about serving God. I don't want to go back to the world. I don't want to do the wrong thing. I love what I'm doing. I love serving. I feel like I really want to serve God. You might say, man, I feel like I really have a heart for God. I don't go back in the world. I don't want to do sinful things. I don't want to do terrible things. The world stinks. I already know that. I know that, but I've seen people who think that, who've gone back. Bible says, let him that thinketh that he standeth, take heed lest he fall. I've been serving the Lord about 29 years. Never backslid in that time. Don't really want to. I look at the world and I say, man, why do I want that? Got a call today from somebody who's in the jails and talking about someone who was pretty happy back a while back and now they're in jail and they said they told that person who was doing the visiting in jail to call me and I'll go and visit him this week and they told me they're pretty distraught, and I see what the world brings. I don't want the world, man. And I'm not so dumb that I think that what it looks like in a magazine cover is how happy those people are. I'm smart enough to understand they're drug addicts, and if they're so happy, why do they have to get divorced and remarried 27 times? Why do they keep leaving each other and cheating on each other? And if they're having such a great life, why do they have to take drugs? I always laugh. These kids go, these are the coolest people. They're having so much fun. Yeah, they have a smile right now. Meet them at 5 in the morning, 3 days after the concert. See how they're doing. The world, the pleasure of the world brings death. Every man thirsts for Jesus Christ. Only he can satisfy that. Listen, they don't become drug addicts for no reason. They want to escape. And I don't think the world is great. I don't want to go back and I look at that and say, what a waste of a life, man. Serving the Lord is where it's at. I love life. I love serving God. And I'm looking forward to heaven. But if I start thinking, you know, I'm never going back. I'm never going to go leave God. Better be careful. I've seen better men than me go back on God. We're weak creatures. We are. Any one of us, we let the devil get in his nose under the tent. We don't know if we're not going to go back on God. How can we ever say no? Something else, you know, somebody else should never go back on God, and they never will, or it's somebody else's fault. It's the human condition. Now, a lot of people don't. Praise God. A lot of people don't. Many of you come from a family where your parents, they're old and getting toward the end of life, and they're still serving the Lord, and they've been serving the Lord since they got saved. Many people in this room, praise God for that. And thank God. And I've seen many, many. And I'll go back to my home church and see many faithful Christians who've been serving God since I was a young teenager. And thank God. People keep serving God. But understand, we don't know who's going to go back on God. So don't put too many hopes that somebody is always going to be there serving God. Put your hopes in Him who will never change. And look at Him. Next, it's easier not to fall if you don't put a pillow below you. It's easier not to fall if you don't put a pillow below you. Let's go back to John. I like this. This is a thing that had a wise pastor teach me that. John chapter 6. In verse 67. Then said Jesus the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe that thou art sure and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Two things that keep Peter from going. One, he's sure that he's the Son of God. And he is who he said he is. Second thing, they have nowhere else to go. We had a pastor who came up here and started the church, and he we called it an umbilical cord back to his home area. He still owned a house in his old area. He still kept very close connection to his old church in his old area, and he's coming up here to start a church. And me and a wiser, older pastor were talking about it, and this guy started talking about, you know, maybe this wasn't God's will. Maybe God's leading me to go back. Maybe. And the pastor who had been in the ministry longer than I had and was a wise man said, you know, he's gone. He's going to leave. Whenever they have an umbilical cord outside the will of God to fall back on, they usually will. If you told me to walk across a little tiny skinny piece of wood and walk across from one to the other, if there's a net underneath it, I wouldn't think much of falling. I wouldn't be that careful. I'd try to walk across it, but there's a net down there. If there was no net, I would find a way to get across the board. It didn't matter if I crawled, hung, clung, ran. Didn't matter. I'd find a way to get around. Why? Because there ain't no options. That's why do those Filipinos, why did somebody, are there some of them going to stay in the ministry? Well, they already found out they paid a great price to go do that, to go train for the ministry, and it was very difficult. But however, they don't have a plan B. Their training is in the ministry, and they don't have a career. I have found most of the time when I find a pastor who has a very good career, even if he's starting a church, he has a very good career to fall back on, and he keeps that job tie when he doesn't need to. He's usually going to go back to his job. You know why? Because most any job is easier than ministry. Less hours, more pay, more appreciation. And weekends off. And, you know, I've seen that so many times. This doesn't work out. I've always got this. No. If you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Don't have a backup plan if you do lead the will of God. Make your statement. Make it so everybody knows the way he's so much a center of your life. You're living by faith. You're serving the Lord. That everyone is going to mock you and say you're nuts. I mean, your life is so wrapped up in Jesus. There's no back. It's very hard to backslide. Because it's your whole life. He's your life. And there is no plan B. And I thank God I have nothing that appeals to me to go back on God to. Now, I'm fortunate in that. I don't sit here and say, oh, I'd sure love to go back and work on a dock. work midnights. That's fun. Let me lift boxes all night and move barrels and let me back up trailers all night. I don't have... Listen, I think that you need to be careful that Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? We left our boats. We're serving God. It makes it easier when he is your life and you have him in all. Next and last, the rewards are amazing for those who do not go away. What verses to read? You know, Romans 8, lots of verses, but I'm going to go to Revelation. The rewards are awesome for those who don't go away. Many don't, praise God. Revelation chapter 2. By the way, those 11 stayed faithful unto death. Thank God. Eventually, they get it right, and they stuck with it. Smyrna as a church is very persecuted, very poor, suffering for Christ. In Revelation 2:10, it says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be faithful unto death. But I get this incredible job offer where I'm going to make a lot more money, but I have to work on Sundays. That's what it's going to take? Wow. Boy, I hope they're paying you $60 million an hour to make you leave God. Make it worth it, man. You're not going to leave Jesus for $50 an hour or anything, are you? At least make six figures an hour if you're going to risk standing in front of the God of the universe and people go to hell because you're not serving him. You better make sure it's worth it. I mean, make off good. But where am I going to get a job? There's a pretty big God who might be able to find one for you. I ain't never worked Sunday. I ain't starving. Got a big God. What is it that's going to make you go back? See, you're going to get incredible treasures if you'll stay faithful unto death. And lots of verses. Let me look at Acts chapter 20. And I won't read lots of verses. I got several written down, but we'll just do a couple here. Maybe Acts 20 will be the last one. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Stay faithful to the end. You get great rewards. But none of these things move me. Neither count I, my, this is Acts 20, 24, my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace. You know what? I want to finish my course with joy. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul at the end of his life says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness laid aside for me. Listen, he said, I have finished with joy. And it's a good way to finish. I am not going to leave Jesus. True story. 380 AD, there was a group of Christians in the Roman Empire, and they had gone, they'd renounced and gone back. The new emperor of the Roman Empire, he had gone back on what Constantine said, and they took many of the Roman soldiers, and they found out some of them are Christians, and just in one big group in the middle of winter, they took the soldiers they found out were Christians and asked them to renounce Christ. They said no, and they put them on a frozen lake in the middle of winter, stripped naked. And they said, and they gathered their family members and said, try to talk them into coming back. And the soldiers huddled together, the Christians, and they huddled together, and they began to say, 40 soldiers wrestling for Jesus, let there be 40 in the end. And they sat there and said that and froze and froze and stood there shivering. And boy, what a terrible way to die. Finally, the mom of one of the younger soldiers kept calling, son, come back here, renounce Christ, and take your clothes and join the Roman army, and it'll be easy, and I'll be happy. I won't have to see you die. And one of those young, that young man renounced Christ and went off. He'd rather be warm. And as they sat there, and they kept on saying, 40, may there be 40 to the end, suddenly a Roman soldier took off his clothes and walked out to join them. And he says, I'll suffer. I'll become a Christian. These folks have something I'd like to have. We could read about the martyrs being burned at the stake. We can read about the people who've been through all those things. I wouldn't understand a little better the guy on the ice rather than I had a bad experience in church and I'm not going to. More than there's a bunch of different religions and they don't agree, so I'm just not going to go to do anything. Hey, read the Bible and do what it says. Oh, you know, my friend was a Christian and he went and he did a bunch of bad things and he robbed a bank, and so Christian, you know, I'm not going to follow. And what did Jesus do? We're serving Jesus because of him. We're serving Jesus if nobody else does. I want to say this. If every one of you becomes an axe murderer tomorrow, don't come back to church Sunday, by the way, and if every one of you does, I'm still serving God next week. I'm not serving God because of you. I'm serving God because I love Jesus. Doesn't matter what you do. I love Jesus. I'm giving my life to him. He's my savior. He's my best friend. He's my father. If all of the Christians in the world go out and become drug addicts next week, it'll make no impact on whether I serve God. I know him. He's my best friend. Who's going to go back on God? The lesson is we don't know. I'm just going to make sure it's not me. Because I could. And I just said that statement, understanding I might go back for something small and insignificant. One person in church offends me, and it gets so under my burr of my saddle, I can't quit dwelling on it. And pretty soon, out of the will of God. Who's going to go back on God? We don't know. So don't say, oh, no, this is terrible. Oh, no, they went back on God. What am I going to do? You're going to keep on serving God. Because people are going to go back on God. People in Open Door Baptist Church of Des Moines, Washington, believe it or not, they're going to go back on God. Yeah, they're humans. Humans do a lot of dumb things. Humans do a lot of dumb things. Humans are fallen creatures. And so, you know what? We don't know who's going back on God, so you just got to, you know what you do? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. People disappoint you. Jesus never will. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the spirit of God. Thank you for the chance to preach your word, Lord. And Lord, I've seen people, Lord, people I've worked in the ministry with in weekends in Chicago. People who we've worked arm in arm in, Father, people who were dedicated, but they left an open door for the devil. Father, may we be serious and dedicated to you. May we not go back on you. Lord, I pray that we would be people who could stand the heat and stand the fire, and whatever comes toasty at us, we're just going to keep on going because we love you. You're worthy, Lord. But we are weak, so keep us strong, keep our eyes on you. In Jesus' name. Heads about, our eyes are closed.